I nuts? I want the veal parmesan. She got a dessert, and it's up in the room. So when I finish this, I'm digging into a dessert.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is back. He's actually on the road in Georgia, but we're not going to talk about that in this podcast. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Plenty to talk about on the first of two podcasts this week, all presented by Bill Curry Ford, C-U-R-R-I-E, Curry. That is the family name, Bill Curry Ford. Nearly 64 years in Tampa, an absolute institution in town, family-owned, which means a lot, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. BillCurryFord.com is where you start shopping. It's where you can read about their nationwide lifetime warranty on all new vehicles. You can read about how GM Sean Sullivan will give you $500 just to order a new vehicle, and their concierge online service is so easy if you want to do it that way. There's the Ira Kaufman discount. Just mention that to Sean. And there's the Curry name, which is just fantastic for service, body work, whatever you need. BillCurryFord.com. Start there when you're vehicle shopping and email Sean directly. Reach out to him. He'll guide you and help you. Even if you're not buying for 6 weeks from now, reach out to him. It's very valuable to have a GM who loves the Bucks, who loves people and the Tampa Bay area to answer your questions about whatever you need in the car, truck business, whatever it is. BillCurryFord.com. You can find it all right there. Florida's elite restoration sage. Mold is an issue. It doesn't go away on its own. You have to call them the moment you see mold in your home. Florida's elite restoration.com is there 24/7. They are licensed mold remediation specialists. They will fight for you with the corrupt insurance companies to get the money you need to fix your property. And that might be storm damage. It could be a flood, which happens all the time, fire, whatever it is. You call them 24/7. They'll come out, give you a free evaluation. When you call, mention Ira Kaufman, mention Joe Bucks fan, and they will too give you a Ira Kaufman discount, which means $500 if you end up needing their services. So they'll give you that free evaluation at your property. And if you move forward with them, then you're going to get that money back. Maybe it's money for your deductible or just cash back when you pay for their restoration services. But first, check them all out. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Be prepared when that disaster hits. You'll know someone you can trust. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And Sage, we'll talk about some beer and food later. Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. Big Storm Brewing Company, BigStormBrewery.com, to see all of the beers and all the great menus at their tap rooms in Odessa, Clearwater, Orlando at the Amway Center, Cape Coral, and Ybor City upstairs in Centro Ybor. Sage, I got some big picture green flags and some big picture red flags on this last game. I need to know what you want first. And of course, the floor is yours if you have an address for the good people of Tampa Bay.
Well, I'm going to start it out this way, and I'm going to get Lee all excited with this one. And Lee, you've been listening to the same quotes post-game, Wednesday, Thursday. And Lee, I'm a little sick of the theme. I guess there's nothing else these people can say, talking about the coaches, from the head coach on down, Lee. There's no sense that, things are not working on offense. There's not a lot of recognition about it. All I keep hearing, Lee, is things are going to get better as the season goes on. Now, Lee, am I nuts, or are we now approaching week 7 in the NFL? I know Canales has a new scheme. He's got different ideas. He's creative. But Lee, hasn't he implemented this scheme since OTAs and training camp? Why, oh, why should I think this running game is going to be straightened out by another 2 weeks of practice?
He gave expansive answers, as you would say, Ira, in that press conference. And I'm sure, what you read so far on the quote sheet, that's just a sampling of what he said. He must have spoke for 20 minutes. And if you look at the big picture with an open mind, everything he's saying makes sense. And I think we only have to go back 3 years. Brady came to Tampa Bay, arguably the smartest quarterback that ever lived. saw everything, knew everything about football intimately. It took him, both he said this and Arian said this, took him till after Thanksgiving before he had a full handle on Arian's offense. Canales is trying to teach 11-plus guys a new offense, which is why Arian said that he decided not to go with the Bill Belichick offense with Brady. He thought it was better to teach a smart guy rather than have 11-plus guys learn it. Now you got 11-plus guys learning a brand-new offense, brand-new blocking schemes, brand-new everything. And Canales said his expectation was mid-season you should see a turning of the page. But he also said something today in an answer to one of my questions, and I thought it was a fantastic answer. I never thought of it this way. He said the bad third down conversions, and you know he was guilty. He raised the hand. I'm a part of that. He said the bad third down conversions not only is keeping the defense on the field, it's pulling his running backs off the field. They're losing valuable snaps because they don't have the ball because there's so many three and outs, and that's stunting the learning curve. And so I believe him. I understand what he's saying. I believe him, and I'm willing to give the guy the benefit of the doubt. But that's just,
well,
I know there's people on JoeBucksFan.com, or they're wanting to slit people's throats right now.
Steve, I want to be fair, and I think this is an important point to make. They played the Eagles. The offense stunk. They had 3 points going into the fourth quarter. Then they scored a meaningless touchdown. They played the Lions. They didn't score a touchdown, Steve. What worries me a little bit is Atlanta's got the fourth-ranked defense in the league. Now, we're not going to talk about Atlanta's team on this podcast right here, Steve, but my point is that their red zone is lousy, Steve. It's been lousy all year. Red zone offense, lousy. And I think part of it, and maybe a predominant part of it is they can't run the ball. So now you're inside and the field's constricted. They hadn't had a problem on third downs until Sunday against Detroit. They've been doing well on third down. To Lee's point, yes, it was a factor in the Lions game, no question about it. But, Steve, the old problems have cropped up again. And as I wrote this week, and I don't think you can really argue, Steve, we know where the Bucs are kind of after five games. They're okay, but they can't play with the big boys.
Exactly.
It's hard to argue that right now, Steve.
All right, you know what? I'm gonna ruffle some feathers here, Sage. You ready for this?
Of course.
All right. Now, look, I'm finished with the excuses. I think Dave Canales is fantastic as a speaker, as a presenter, as a man. He's engaging. He's great to listen to. He's working hard to give good answers and to inform fans, and it's great. However, all right, let's go back to Tootley. Went back a few years. I'm going to go back 11 years to Greg Schiano walking in here with a guy named Mike Sullivan at his offensive coordinator. And I'm not sure if Sullivan was a first-time coordinator or not, but I believe he was at the NFL level. And
I think he was.
So here, I'm going to read this off to you. Greg Schiano, with the mental patience of a quarterback and a brand-new offense and a first-time NFL head coach, let me read you these scores, okay? These are your Buccaneers scores in game order by the offense. 16, 34, 10 points. Then we go to in week 4, 22 points, 38 points, 28 points, 36 points, 42 points, 34 points. The next game, 27 points. I could go on and on. The Buccaneers were 13th in the league in scoring that year. The running game, first game, 3.6 yards a carry, 3.6 yards a carry, 3.0 yards a carry. Okay, got off to a slow start. Then we're looking at 4.4 yards a carry, 6 yards a carry, 4.3 yards a carry, 3.9, 8.7. There's no excuses. This is the NFL. They've got talent. They've got a Pro Bowl left tackle that they can't figure out how to run for 4 yards behind, and a left guard who's pretty good next to him. And the lack of a running back is killing them, absolutely killing them, and they're not figuring out ways to work around that. We saw it last year. We're seeing it all over again, and it's not okay. I don't care how nice the offensive coordinator is. He's running out of time to put a decent product on the field.
Lee, when Isbitz does research like that, he shakes me up.
Oh, that's good. You know, I would say that the Bucks had a better running game back then than the Bucks have now.
They sure
now,
did.
Let's think about this for a minute. What is the common denominator with the Bucks offense? Virtually everything is new except for one thing. Same RB1.
Yep.
And it's worse than it was last year running the ball. I asked Canales, I said, you know, you've made a couple of recent media appearances, and you've said that the running game, the blocking for the running offense, the blocking is okay and or adequate. And he did not disagree with what I said. I was quoting him. And I said, you know, there have been some runs. I've seen it in Orleans. I've seen it in Minnesota. I saw it Sunday. There were freaking holes. For whatever reason, Rashad White did not choose to run through the hole. There was one time, I can't remember what part of the game it was, I almost fell out of my chair. I mean, you and I could have ran for freaking 20 yards. Rashad White just stood there behind an offensive lineman, went to his right. When I say to his right, I'm talking about 3 feet to his right. It was like the length of a freaking pickup truck, a Ford F-150 for Bill Curry. That blankety-blank wide. I don't know why he didn't go there. He could have tripped and got a first down. If he stayed on his feet, he had 35, 40 yards. Why he didn't do that, I don't know. And I ask Canales, why is that? Is that just discipline that he's going to stick with the play no matter what? That he, if you're saying you're going to run through X hole, that's where he's going to run no matter what? Or is just that lack of vision? What is it? And he gave a big, long answer, and part of it was that he's still getting used to the blocking schemes, reading the blockers, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know. You see wide open green grass right beside you, and you don't take that? I'm sorry. That's irresponsible as hell to me. Is that or just ineptitude?
You guys are not wrong. Don't second guess yourselves. You're not wrong. There's got to be a running back out there, Steve. Go find them. Go find them that can average close to 4 yards a carry. And, Steve, if it was only a problem in the Detroit game, I give them the benefit of the doubt because it's very tough to run on the Lions. All right. They got a very grudging rush defense. They do. But, Steve, this problem goes back years. Not even games.
Yeah.
Years. And it's a freaking problem. And Mayfield is not a guy that you want throwing 44 balls. That's going to be a problem. That's got two or three picks written all over it, Steve. I'll bring up the red zone again. I think it's a big impact there. I wrote it the other day, Steve. I give him one more week. I think Light's going to have to make a move. I don't care if Rashad White doesn't like it. I don't care.
Yeah.
And by the way, Lee, while we're on at it, that tight end room isn't doing a thing. It's not doing a thing.
Well, as much as I like the guy, Mr. Otten, Kate Otten, there was one play, and it sounds like I'm nitpicking here, it was one play, but it was one play that cost the Bucks 4 points, at least. He missed a block when Devin Tompkins caught a ball out of the backfield. He absolutely whiffed on a block. Had he made that block, there's a very good chance Tompkins scores. Because he had already beat the cornerback. And Tompkins got hit by a linebacker. Linebacker should have been blocked by Otten. His linebacker had like 90 pounds, 100 pounds on Tompkins. He got flattened. And that, for me, was an example of the Bucks can't match up to physical teams. And I asked Todd Bowles about that Sunday night after the game. I said, you know, last year Frisco, last year Dallas in the playoffs, this year the Eagles. This year, the Lions, all four are very physical teams. I said, Todd, does your team just not match up well with the physical teams? Well, he disagreed with that. He thought they were in the game, and I do agree with that. But I disagree with Bowles dismissing the notion that they can't match up with physical teams. They've demonstrated it, period. They've demonstrated it.
And, Steve, there's a lot of coach speaks that's been going on around one buck place.
Oh, boy, it sure has.
And I find that a little distasteful. And I'll give you an example, Steve. Every time Lee or somebody else asks a pointed question about a specific group or player, whether it's Mayfield, the running game, Steve, a defensive lapse, what is the answer we're always getting? It's not one thing. It's everything. I mean, Steve, that gets a little tired after a while. Address the question.
Yeah, and I understand that they're not going to throw people under the bus, and you know, and Canales gives great answers, but if you really listen to the full breadth of what he's saying, he loves every player on his roster. It's just like Dirk Cutter. They love everybody. Everybody's great. Everybody's coming along, and our guys are our guys and all that, and that's fine. But the struggles, they, you know, I think Lee and I are sort of, we're at the edge of our seats because they have to be addressed with the running. Because, look, this team has a legit chance. They may be the favorite to win the NFC South. And you've got to address this because this team needs the running game at least a little bit. We've, as we said preseason, if they could improve to just 20th or 21st in the league, below average, that would make a big difference. But it's not getting better. And I still don't understand, and maybe it's my lack of football knowledge, Ira. Maybe I don't have enough depth to it. But how do you... How is everybody telling me that Tristan Wirfs is all world, but you can't figure out how to run left sometimes and pick up 4.5, 5 yards pushing behind that big load? Why is that going on?
Leftwich never ran behind Wirfs. That's an interesting point, Lee. And I don't think he's bad at it, but I don't think he's exceptional at it. I'm talking about Wirfs.
Yeah.
Who's an all-world pass protector. All-world. Yes. There may not be anybody better in the league, right, Lee? There may not be anybody any better. And I don't need Pro Football Focus to tell me that, Lee.
Everybody cites those imbeciles for offensive line grades. And I'm telling you, every NFL person I talk to, when I say NFL person, I'm talking to multiple GMs who have rings. I've yet to find anyone of any authority in the NFL that gives those guys a nickel's worth of credibility for their grades.
I'm with you.
Sage, I just wanted to clarify with the, Leftwich, before last year, they would run behind Gronkowski and Wirfs very effectively. It disappeared last year. I understand Gronk was gone, but it's just kind of disappeared, and it's just frustrating.
Lee, I wouldn't call Wirfs a road grader. I wouldn't, which is a little bit puzzling because, those Iowa guys, Lee, that they all excel in run blocking. That's a running scheme up there. I think he's much better in pass protection than run blocking, from what I've seen.
Sure, but let's not confuse things. He is at worst an adequate run blocker, is he not?
Yes. Yes, he is. So
why not use him, you know?
Steve, I thought there were some parts earlier in the season when they ran fairly effectively behind Filer and Wirfs, and I'm not seeing that right now.
Well, there have been some good plays, and obviously they've had some decent runs this year, but overall, it's real bad. But I want to switch. I've got some creepy red flags for you, Ira, that I need your sage wisdom of a man of your stature and years. But a couple of positives, so we don't go all freak out here. You got to reflect on it at least a little bit, Ira. This Luke Goedeke, Tristan Wirfs decision, it's working better than anybody could have imagined at this point.
Lee, if you put out a most improved player, Gedeke's a runaway winner. He's a runaway winner. And that's music to Jason Light's ears, Lee. We know that. But that's not why I'm saying it, because the proof's on tape. He's handling people. He's handling Cam Jordan. He's handling Hutchinson. I got to give him credit. Lee, I didn't like him at all last year. I just didn't like his play. I didn't like his lack of physicality. They've done a good job, the coaching staff, and I'll give Goedeke himself most of the credit. He's dedicated himself, he's healthy, and he's very consistent in his play. So Steve's right. I think that's one of the bright spots of this season.
Apparently, Wirfs took Goedeke aside this summer when they learned that he will be the starting right tackle, and almost every day he worked out with him.
Let's talk about Hainsey for a second. The runs, you know, between the guards, right up the middle, and I said this last year, Lee, and you know who I talked to about it in terms of they didn't think Hainsey, and these guys are sharp analysts, they didn't like Hainsey from the get-go. They didn't think he could be physical. They didn't think he could move defensive tackles and create that wedge. Lee, I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing it. I'm not saying the guy's a terrible player. You know, he ain't no Jensen, Lee. He's just not.
No, and that's not fair to compare him to Jensen. And I hear Baker Mayfield said they need to, the offense needs to play more pissed off. To me, that's basically saying we miss Jensen. Now, I know Mayfield never played with him, but
That's what that screams to me.
Yeah.
All right, Sage. Now you talked about coach speak, and there's a couple of coach speak and coach speaks, if you will, for lack of a better word, that need to be addressed because they're a little bit troublesome, and I take them as an early red flag, and they need your wisdom here. But I do want to at least acknowledge that everything is much more smooth and simpler when you have a Bromosa in front of you from Big Storm Brewing Company, maybe a Sunny Key Lime, perhaps a Bay Beer, which is their brand.
It solves a lot of problems.
It solves a lot of problems. And at Centro Ybor, you can go to Big Storm, the brand new tap room there upstairs. Sage and I were hanging out there, and we've been there before. We had a great draft party there, and they've got specials for every football Sunday. They've got the games. Bay beers are $3. We post the specials on the weekend at joebucksfan.com. But follow Big Storm Brewing Company on Facebook. Each tap room has its own own page, and they got a lot of cool events. They had a disco thing going on there the other night. Ira, I'm sorry you missed it. But
you didn't tell me Bay beers are $3, Steve. You never mentioned that.
Well, wait a minute. First of all, you got there before I did, and you got a mimosa. I mean, you're sitting there drinking champagne by yourself. I show up. Very strange. But bigstormbrewery.com. You can find the beers and check them all out. And then you can even punch in the brand that you're looking for in their storm tracker and your zip code, and you can find out where to buy it. So that's really cool setup they got there. Bigstormbrewery.com. Big Storm Beer, official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. All right. So, Ira, there's two issues here. You want the more obscure one, or you want the more general one first?
I want the general one.
All right. So Todd Bowles comes out, and we all heard him say, coming off a bye week, you were a little sluggish, and these things sort of was saying these things can happen off a bye week. That had me running to look up Todd Bowles' record off a bye week, and it's not good. It's way, way below average, and a lot of teams do extremely well off a bye week. Andy Reid is well known for his dominance after a bye week. And even going back to Bowles as a defensive coordinator, his teams had some bad days after a bye week when he wasn't the head coach. And teams he's been part of haven't done that well. Bruce Arians had a decent record after the bye, but Bowles is Jets teams. And last year, the Bucs got embarrassed in Cleveland after a bye week. So do you put that on the coach, Ira? And do you also look at that and say, what the hell are they talking about? You're supposed to come out with your hair on fire after a bye week at home in a big game.
I look towards the coaching staff, Lee. That's where I look, especially if it's a long-term problem that goes past this one season. How can you come out with a lack of urgency, Lee? I don't understand it. You're supposed to be refreshed, rejuvenated. You looked at the film. You self-scouted to veer away from things that you might have tendencies about. You got extra time to scout the Lions. Now, look, Lee, on their best day, they're not as good as the Lions. I'm going to say it right now. And that's no shame, Lee. The Lions are good. Are they the Eagles or the Niners? No, they're a notch below. But they're good. They got a 2.5 game lead in a division. And I don't care how bad the division is. They got a 2.5 game lead. And, we're not even in November yet. But, Lee, this thing about we look sluggish, that's a damning indictment right there.
I think so. And, they looked like Steve already brought it up, the Browns game last year. That was pathetic. I lean more towards Steve than I lean toward the people freaking out in the comments on JoeBucksFan.com. And I'll admit I was the main guy freaking out about Rashad White and the running game. I just got so fed up with the Sunday. I'm like, enough's enough. I don't care if I piss people off. And I just unloaded on the lack of a run game. I unloaded on Rashad White, and I basically dared the Bucs to do something about it. I don't have the power to change things. People at one Buck place do. Let's see if they're motivated. We'll see. But I will say this. Anytime you hold an NFL team to 20 points, you should be in the game.
I'm with you, Lee. I'm with you.
Offensively, the plays were there. And we could rattle off all the plays that they didn't execute on. Mike Evans being open, Mike Evans dropping a pass, Trey Palmer open twice. Now, Steve thought that Palmer pulled a DeSean Jackson on one of those would-be passes and slowed up on Mayfield. I didn't see that, but I'm not disputing what Steve said. Steve had a lot more replays to watch than I did. But the plays were there. The plays were there. They just didn't finish the play. So I can't kill Canales. And without a run game, the plays were there. And I already bellyached about that one run play that Rashad White chose not to run through. The plays were there. That should have been a very close game.
Mayfield had a lousy game, Steve. There's no two ways about it.
Yeah, Lee's dead on. The defense was good. That's a high-scoring team. I always look at what's the team's average. It's coming in, they were averaging about 29 points a game. Bucks held them to 20. And look at that that one first field goal the Lions got. They got it from 8 yards away. That's where they got the ball. So, yeah, there were some busts on the defense, but the defense is good, and the offense sucked. And execution, sure, there's always plays like that. They were just really glaring in this game because of, I think, partially because of the timing and because they involved Mike Evans, and everything Evans does is a big deal. But
give me your obscure one, Stevie.
All right, my obscure one, Sage, and just to wrap up the other thing, a Bulls teams he's affiliated with are 3-8 after a bye week. He was 1-3 with the Jets, 0-2 now with the Bucks. I don't think it's a coincidence, so we'll leave it at that. All right, so here's the obscure one, Ira. You know, the Buccaneers Radio Network, they get these coaches on there, and the Thad Lewis, the quarterback's coach, was on, and he's a real sharp dude, went to Duke, you know, played in the league many years as a backup. So he's on there, and he drops the bomb, in my opinion, when he talks about how the Bucs were not up for the game, and they were a little too high after beating the Saints. And I'll read you the quote. I don't think we came out and played with the same fight that we played with against the Saints. Obviously, that's a different game for us, but I feel we should approach every game like that. If we can approach every game like we approached the Saints game, then that would be good. I don't think we did. I think some of the guys probably needed that, meaning that loss to the Lions, because we were high coming off that Saints game. Now, the Saints game was 2 weeks ago, Ira. That is a huge red flag if the mentality of the team is like that.
That's unbelievable, Steve. I'll give that Lewis credit for saying it. But if it's true, and there's no reason to think he doesn't have the pulse of the team. He's on the staff. He's with these guys all the time. It's very damning, Lee. It's very damning. And you guys have a hell of a memory. You got a better memory than I am because you're younger than I am. Lee, wasn't there a game last year? Maybe it was 2 years ago. I don't think it was 2020, but maybe it was last year. Lee, didn't we hear the same thing about how they were reading their press clippings after a win and then they played like garbage and we heard the same thing? Am I wrong on that, Lee?
I don't remember that, Ira. I'm not saying it's not true. I just don't remember it. That's so superfluous. It doesn't, I just, crunch it up and throw it in the trash in my brain.
Wasn't there a game where Bowles or Arian said we were reading our press clippings? I thought there was.
There have been in the past, but you know what? I'm going to leave those there, Ira. I don't like that. It's hard to imagine with such a big game. You're 3-1. You've got experienced players here on offense. Because let's face it, the defense came out sharp. So it was the offense that was, had their head in the clouds. And Thad Lewis coaches the quarterbacks and the offense. It's just disturbing that it could even happen. Hopefully they write it off. But I don't know. Lee, what do you think? You don't think much of that?
No, we're talking about the same team has a core of players that won a Super Bowl and then the next year won how many games and took the Rams to the last second. And so that sounds more like some kind of weak excuse than anything else.
It is weak, Steve. It's real weak. And they had a chance to make a statement, and there's a difference between 4-1 and 3-2 with a chance to be 5-1 at home against Atlanta before the schedule gets a little treacherous. That was an important game, Steve. And to me, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, maybe you guys disagree, they played Philly and they played Detroit, and they don't measure up, Lee. They don't measure up.
No, I asked this to Bulls, and he disagreed with me, but I just don't think they match up well with physical teams. I really don't. And again, I cited a couple of examples Monday, and in one of those examples, I mentioned Kate Otten. I think the guy's, he's a great guy, but he just isn't a physical tight end. And that's going to have to be addressed in the offseason. I'm not saying get rid of Otten, but they need a tight end that can block. I mean, a real tight end, not a fullback that wants to be a tight end, Coe Keith, another guy I like, but he's a fullback. He's not a tight end in the NFL. If you're going to have a running team, you better have a tight end that can block a lineman.
You're right. And Steve, you know, look, we're a half an hour into the podcast or whatever it is. And, you know, our listeners, and we got a lot of them, and it's growing. I don't want them saying, oh, look at these negative guys. It's a 3-2 team. The sky's not falling. What's going on with these two? I think I speak for all three of us. We're not making this stuff up. Guys, they're averaging 18 points. Lee, that's a fact. We're not making that up. That is a fact. In fact, Lee, it's a fraction less than they averaged last year. So that's the story. That's the story right now.
Number one, I think we're accurate. And if we're not accurate, someone please point out where we're not accurate. I would hope that people think we respect the listeners enough not to con them. I'm sure you can go to any bar and say, tell me the Bucks are going to win the Super Bowl. And you'll find someone to do that. I would hope people think we respect them enough that we're trying to give them a clear picture of what's going on at One Buck. Why isn't the team excelling better? I also pointed out where I thought the Bucks played a hell of a lot better than what people are ready to jump off the bridge and stab Dave Canales. Me, I said that. I thought the plays were there. I thought the defense was there. Steve said the same thing. So people trying to say we're negative, okay, I guess I'm lying about that too.
All right, Sage, look, speaking of matchups, you don't match up well with a Cuban sandwich because you kill him every time. It's not a fair fight. It's not a fair fight. All right, Ira, look, we are...
And I plan to have a couple on Sunday when the Falcons come to town.
There you go. Hey, Monster Savings right now, Bill Curry Ford, 3.9% financing for 60 months on a new Ford F-150s. There's rebates on top of that, BillCurryFord.com. All right, Ira, we're coming back with another podcast previewing the Falcons game. You want to say goodbye to everybody?
From Macon, Georgia, everybody, home of the Allman Brothers. Good night, everybody, and stay safe.